retired almost 2.5 years now. I love it. I was a head referee at Hillcrest for 25 years. I was actually in the church for 40 years. God allowed me to go there as their student minister. And then I was the associate pastor. And then my last 25 years, I got the pastor. And your spokesman from the bank that was up here was right. I think he let us borrow like $7 million. And I'm sure they're still paying on it. It wasn't paid for when I left. But this was my motto when we would borrow and build, and it was kingdom work. And I would tell my church, I said, look, so we got a payment every month. Guess what happens when Jesus comes? We're going to leave that payment book here, amen? So if you need something in your church, just do it, because I believe he's coming soon, and I'm excited about that. When you look at this book of Revelation, it's one of, to me, it's the most alive book in all the Bible today, because we're living in the end of it. And as I study the Word, and as I have the opportunity to preach this Word, and I thank God for the opportunity to be here with you this morning, and I pray the Lord, he's already blessed me with your music. What a blessing. And I pray that the Lord will just bless this time together. The pastor asked me, did I want to preach this morning and tonight? And I chose this morning. I've reached my 70. So I've slowed down a smidgen, and I don't preach twice if I don't have to. I have booked a revival the week after next. I'm going to die. So you need to pray for me, amen. I am in big trouble, I promise you I am. But we're so much enjoying the opportunity. We're booked all the way into November right now. And God's just opening doors. And, you know, I go and preach. If they don't like me, they just don't ask me to come back. And some of them, I don't want to go back, amen. But I've been driving by this church for 50 years. You was looking for a pastor one time. And I was looking for a church. And I came out here and drove around the parking lot. I was like when the Lord told Joshua to go to Jericho and march 7 times around. I circled the parking lot about 7 times. And I said, God, I wish you'd lay me on that church's heart. Well, he didn't and you didn't, but that's okay too. But I've always loved your location and where you're at. And you know you've kept the fire going in this place. Great crowd for Sunday morning. A lot of people hear the preacher's not going to be there, and they don't come. George didn't forewarn y'all that I was coming. Did he tell y'all I was coming before I got here? He would. That'd be something he'd do. He'd warn you. But I'm glad to be here. When you read those first three verses, it's just talking about... Listen, if you say, well, I don't understand the revelation, read it anyway. The Bible says, blessed is he that readeth this book. So we need to read it, and you say, well, I don't understand it. Write down the questions. When we get to heaven, we'll ask Jesus. But we need to, the Bible said we're blessed as we study this Word of God. And I truly believe that with all my heart. And you know, in the salutation, which anytime you see that, that's a gesture. Or a salutation is an acknowledgement that somebody is either coming or they're fixing to depart. Well, Jesus has been here. And he died on the cross for us, and he departed. And we're now waiting on his return. So when you see that word, when you see in the Revelation, Paul's salutation, he's saying, look, he did what he did because he loved us, and he will do what he's going to do because he still loves us. And that's what I love about the gospel. It's so real in our life today. So, but when you read the writings of John, it's very exciting. You know, the gospel of John, when you look at John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, and whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's the gospel. But then in his three epistles, as he wrote those, he wrote about the justification. My sins are justified through the blood of Jesus. And when John's writing those three epistles, as he's talking about that, he's saying, look, I've told you how to get saved. Now I'm going to tell you what the joy of that salvation is through the justification of it. And then it gets real good. When he comes to this revelation, he said, now let me give you the punchline. And the punchline through the revelation is salvation. That's good, isn't it? Amen. When I say amen, you say amen. Before we leave, we'll be shouting amen. Amen. Good deal. So when you see the salutation, remember, you see the salvation, the justification, and the glorification. Hey, that's enough to make us shout. I'm in the middle of that. I'm all about salvation. I'm all about, hey, my sins, I don't settle down. It gets worse. So you better hang on back there, okay? I love my sins. Listen, I couldn't get over my sins, but Jesus, He covered those sins with that blood. So my sins are justified as far as being forgiven because of His love for me. But then the joy comes. Hey, we're sitting in the joy. That's salvation. How many of you know you're saved? Say amen. Praise. Isn't that a great amen shout to know that you know Jesus? So when you get down to verse 7, and I won't read all of it, but for the sake of time, When you get down to verse 7, He said, "Behold, He cometh." He said, "Behold, He cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see Him, and they also which pierced Him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of Him." Even so, amen. You can be sure of this one thing. If you don't get anything else out of this message, let me tell you this. He came, He died, He arose, He ascended, and He's coming back. And that's as sure can be. Amen? And when we see that, praise the Lord forever. But then you'll notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I love this passage of Scripture because Paul is—it's like he's taunting death. Now I'm out of time according to the Bible. My scores in 10 are up, so I'm in overtime. I've got past the fourth quarter. I'm in the overtime part of my life, and I praise the Lord for that. But when you see this 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if you're there, say amen. Well, okay. In verse 51, he said, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye." And then I love verse. Go down to 55. And he taunts death. I'm not doing weddings anymore. Of course, when I was pastoring, I had weddings every weekend and funerals every weekend. And you won't believe the people when you're pastoring that put you down to do their funeral. I did a funeral last week, and the guy said, "I want you to do my funeral." I said, "I will if you'll come to mine." He was younger than me, and I thought, "Well, I'll probably go before you." So I cut him a deal. Well, he went on to be with the Lord. But the joy that I find is this verse where Paul said, he said, "Oh death," and I like to say it translated into, "Hey death, where's your sting now? Hey grave, where's your victory?" Let me tell you something. I invite all of you to my funeral. Now, I'm a diabetic. I'm a serious diabetic, and God's blessed me. He's allowed me to control it, and it's a big thing for me. But if you'll come to my funeral, I'm going to have banana pudding and a fork in the casket with me. So I invite all of you to come. Bring your fork. You can eat with me. I can't remember y'all back here. I'm so sorry. I'll try to do better. But when you see the reality of this scripture, it is so real in our life. But then, you know, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, Paul said, "Hey, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which have fallen asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others that have no hope." Listen, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and His righteousness. Amen? And when I see that, he said in that 16th verse in this fourth chapter of the book of Thessalonians, he said, "For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel." And I like this. He said, "Then the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet them in the air, and there shall we ever be with the Lord." Isn't that exciting? Oh, y'all just sit there. I'll get excited enough for all of us. Amen. It's so important that we realize how powerful it is. So we know this. We've established in 1 Corinthians and in 1 Thessalonians, we've established that Jesus is coming. Say amen. We know that He's coming back, and the reality of that excites me. Listen, I look for Him today. I expect the Lord. Let me ask you a question. Did any of you watch a ball game yesterday? Y'all just sit there with your hands down. I can't believe it. No, I don't watch that. That's a God in America. Amen. No, that's fun to watch. I like football in Alabama. Amen. I got a daughter at Auburn. I got a granddaughter at Jacksonville State, and I'm an Alabama fan. I'm in big trouble, amen? But when you see the reality of this scripture, I want to ask you a question. We know it's going to happen. We know He's coming, amen? And I believe he's coming. Let me tell you something, folks. This world is in a mess. We got a federal government that can't even function. They've destroyed our country. And if you look across this world that we live in today, we've got a mess in this world. You know, God keeps looking at his creation. And I believe at any minute, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, God's going to look at Jesus and he's going to say, son, go get them. Amen. And that excites me knowing that. And when I see the reality of this, I want to ask you a question. How prepared are you? Turn to Matthew chapter 7. And let me tell you the setting that we're living in today. You know, this is the chapter where it says, ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened. Why don't we do more in this? In Luke chapter 10 verse 2, it says, the field are white unto harvest. So if the fields are white unto harvest, you know, I'm preaching all over the country. We're in Augusta, Georgia, and the Lord's opening doors everywhere. But I want to ask you a question. You won't believe, I preached in a church about 20 miles from here 2 weeks ago, I think, maybe 3 weeks ago. And there was probably maybe 20 people there. And used to, they run about 150. Well, I'm not a nosy person, but I like to know what's going on. And I said, what in the world has happened here? Oh, we got in a fuss. I like to fuss. Any of you ever had a fuss with anybody? Oh, look at you bunch of holy rollers just said, no, I've never had a fuss. Give me a break. Well, they got in a fuss and everybody, and I don't care if you get in a fuss and leave. You know, Paul got in a fuss with John Mark. In the 15th chapter of the book of Acts, and it ticked Paul off, and Paul run him off, and Paul went on his second missionary journey. But then in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10, Paul is passing on the banner to young Timothy. I'll get to the message in a minute. I'm still in the introduction. Amen. But Paul, as he is laying at his dying bed, and he's fixing to give, he's telling Timothy, Timothy, I want you to take up the banner. I want you to keep this fire that I've started going. And what did Paul say? He said, Demas has departed from me. It's 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. Demas has departed from me, having loved this present world. And then he said, but I want you to bring Mark to me, for he's profitable to the ministry. Now, I left the middle of that verse out. Let me tell you why. Demas has left. I don't know why he left. The Bible didn't say why he left. You can study Demas in the scripture. You can study New Testament survey, New Testament history, and it doesn't explain. I think Demas just wanted to go home, and all Paul wanted to do was take missionary journeys and travel all over Asia and the western part of the world. So I think John Mark was a young man. He said, I want to go back home. Paul got mad at him. Demas left because I think he was homesick. But right in the middle of that, he said, Demas has departed from me, having lived this present world. And then he said, listen, you're going to be so glad you're sitting here. I may run down the aisle and shout for all of us. Get ready. He said, only Luke is with me. You know what that means? They had problems. Paul and John Mark had had a fuss, and they'd gone their separate ways. But listen, folks, you're here this morning, aren't you? You've had your situations. You've been disheartened. You've seen things happen. But, buddy, you've stayed with the cause. You're sitting in church on Sunday morning listening to the preaching of God's Word. So only Luke is with me. From what I can tell, this church is full of a bunch of Lukes. Amen? And that's good stuff right there. Now, I just threw that in. That ain't even my outline right here. But I want to ask you a question. How prepared are you? Hillcrest was a good-sized church. I love travel ball when they don't have it on Sunday. But when you'd rather go play Little League ball and take your kids out of church to go play, and this is not popular. It's probably where I won't get to come back again. But anyway, this travel ball on Sunday and missing church for that, I don't agree with it. Amen? I think church is church, and I think we need to be in church on Sunday. But you got all this stuff. You got cheer camp. You got bass tournaments. You got all this social media. And I'm glad you say amen. I go in a lot of churches, and I have to go sit down and amen myself. That's terrible. I'm telling you it is. But I'm glad that you're alive. And when y'all sang, I said, that's good. Most churches we're preaching in, a lot of them, they don't even have enough people that care enough to have a choir. You're blessed in this church. Amen? And I'm thrilled to death for you. But in Matthew chapter 7, it said, you know, asking it shall be given to you, seeking you shall find, knocking the door shall be open. And then in verse 20, go to verse 20, it says, wherefore by thy fruits we shall know them. This church is almost full. On a Sunday morning, this is a great church. It's almost filled to capacity. And when you see that, this shows the fruit of this church, the desire that you have to be what God would have you to be. But notice how Jesus deals with fruitless churches. And how he deals with fruitless homes that say, boy, I'm a Christian. Jesus is here. I just don't go to church. I got my feelings hurt. I just don't attend like I should. Notice that 21st verse. Not everyone that saith unto me, hear this. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Verse 22. Many will say to me in that day, I'm a member of New Haven. We don't go. We don't like some stuff that's going on down there. But I want you to know, Jesus, I'm a member there. Now, it don't say that. I translated you into that. But it said, many will say unto me, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. Verse 23. And then, while I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. This past May of this year, I worked at a place called Lee Brass. I met one of the former employees there. And I was there about 20 years headed for my ministry that God allowed me to go into. But this past May, I got a phone call. May the 6th of this year, I got a phone call. And it was a member of a man. When I worked there, I was a lab technician when I started. I analyzed the metal. And then as time advanced, I was in the next door to the first aid station. So if somebody got hurt and they came to the first aid station, I would take them to the emergency room. So this guy came in one day and his hand bleeding, and he's cut his hand in that shop, and there wasn't anybody there. So I wrapped it up the best that I could, and we're going to the hospital. I love to tell people about Jesus. I've always done. I've never been shy about telling people about Jesus. I found out a long time ago, I'd go in a house, tell people about Jesus, and they wouldn't pray. I'd be so frustrated when I come out in the car, because I think everybody needs to get saved. Amen? But I would pray with them and say, don't you want to just pray and ask Jesus to come into your life? Well, not today. I'd go get in the car and I'd be so frustrated. Why didn't they pray, Lord? Did I not do good in my presentation? And the last time that I ever did that, I got in a car, same thing had happened. And you know what the Holy Spirit said to me? You not the Savior. He said, you go and tell and you plant the seed. But guess what happens? This is good. Now you better get ready to shout on this one. I'm going to have a fit. Guess what happens when you leave that house? Guess who stays there? That's good, ain't it? Hey, ain't it? Amen. Hey, that Holy Spirit stays in that home. You planted the godly seed in that home. They probably won't sleep anymore till they get saved. That Holy Spirit's going to wake them up. If any of you have trouble sleeping, then you must be struggling with the Holy Spirit. Get right with God and go to sleep. Amen. But when you see this verse, it is so important that we realize how critical it is. Get your baptism in order. What does the Bible say? It said, hey, when you get saved, get baptized. The Bible said in Romans chapter 6, verse 4 and 5, that we are buried in the likeness of his death. Then we're raised to walk in newness of life with him. That makes sense to me. Amen. When they stick you under that water, if they hold you down there, you're going to die. But when they raise you up out of that water, hey, you got that glorified life that's been justified through the salvation of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now that's a good one to clap on. I need to get my breath. Amen. So what's the commandment he gave us? He said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, It's Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost. He said, teach them to observe all things, whatever I have commanded you. And he said, and lo, I want you to know, I'll be with you even unto the end of the world. And I believe the day that I got saved, that Holy Spirit came into my life. He's never deserted me. He's never wanted to leave me. And through all these 50, let's see, I'm 70, I got 65 years of salvation, I've never doubted, I've never pouted, I've just been able to shout it out. Amen? And when you see the reality of this, something happens. So how prepared are you? But let me ask you a question, big question. How prepared is your family? Is everybody in your family saved? 4 years ago this past March, I had a brother-in-law. Not the one that's pastor. I want you to go tell me, my brother-in-law at Mount Zion, the pastor up there, I said he was lost and I led him to Jesus. This is another brother-in-law. I'd shared the gospel with him for 45 years. 45 years. He just was, he got embarrassed in church. Some things that happened and he was done wrong. It was terrible. But don't die without Jesus. Because somebody, Satan tried to trip you up in church. Get over it, amen? That's what we need to do. But he had a heart attack. God's got a way to speak to everybody. He had this heart attack. We went over to the hospital to see him, the wife and I. He's laying in intensive care. They let us go back. I told him I was a preacher and he's my brother-in-law and I wanted to have prayer with him. So they let us come in and go in and have prayer with us. We got ready to leave and he held up his hand. To me, he wanted me to pray with him. In 45 years, he'd never asked me to pray. He would be offended when I prayed when we sat down to eat a meal somewhere. But he held up that hand, and he wanted me to pray with him. Well, I prayed with him. We came out, and I told my wife, I said, God's speaking to him. I waited about 2 weeks, let him get home from the hospital, and there's his shouting around, get ready. And I went over there. He and the wife was there, and he's sitting on the couch, and I walked in, and I said, hey, man, you could have died. You could have died without Jesus. He's nodding his old head, and then he raised his head, big old tears. That's a good sign when you're telling some. I mean, that's a plus, amen? Big old tears are running down his face. And I said, are you ready to ask Jesus to come into your life? He said, I sure am. We prayed. He accepted Jesus 45 years later. So, hey, how prepared is your family? If I had a family member that's lost, before today, I would come to this altar, I'd pray for them, and I would call them on the phone, and I would say it, I'm almost through. I would say at 11 o'clock today, I prayed for you that you'd get saved. You said, that'll make them mad. Where are they going? To hell number two? Come on, folks. Hey, we need to love family. Amen. If they need, hey, well, I don't want a cousin. I don't want an uncle or an aunt. I don't want a relative dying and going to hell because I didn't care enough to pray for them. Amen. Amen. That's important. Is this the way George preaches? He's wild too, isn't he? Okay, I'm glad I fit right in then. Amen. So is your family ready? But in the Revelation chapter 4, and if you want to shout in the Bible, that's heavenly worship. Listen, you're going to do good in heaven. I feel sorry for these old dead churches that don't laugh and shout and say amen and get excited and sing about Jesus. They're going to be in a mess in heaven. I'm telling you now, heaven's going to be a happy place. Amen? It's going to be an eternal place. Hey, it's prepared by God. Jesus is walking the very streets. What do you think heaven's going to be? Oh, there comes Jesus. Let me get out of the way. Man, I'm going to shout and praise Him for dying for my sins. Amen? And we need to do that in Jesus' name. So how prepared are you and your family? In the Revelation chapter 4, quickly, turn to verses 1 and 2. And I'm really winding down. In chapter 4, verses 1. And look, just see the scripture come alive when I give it to you. He said, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit. Don't you like a good Holy Ghost moment When you just get so excited, I've seen people never got excited in church. Man, that's where you get excited. This is our excitement place. Amen? We're not at Walmart. We're not at the service station. We in the Lord's house. We can celebrate. We can shout. We can applaud. This is where it happens at. Amen? But boy, when we get to heaven, we better practice when we get caught up in the Spirit around Jesus. We better practice here so we'll know how to do it there. Amen? So I'm going to shout on earth so I'll be ready to shout in glory. Amen? But then something great happens. Now, when you study the Scripture, when you really look at it and you see the reality of it, you see how critical it is. This, from chapter 1 all the way through chapter 5, is shouting material in the Revelation. It's easy to understand. Read it. But then chapter 6 through 19, and when you start reading it, it's like, I don't know what it's saying. It's about the judgment of God upon this world. Chapters 6 through 19. But the first five chapters, that's shouting scripture. And buddy, God said we could shout out the glory. Listen, if he comes today, are you ready? In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, you don't have to turn there, it's just one verse. He said, listen to this. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, you need to hear this. It said, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Oh, and by the way, I didn't finish this illustration the last time I did it. I went to UAB. I walked in the room. And that man that I'd taken to the hospital that day, his hand was bleeding. And I asked him, I'll never forget the question I asked him and the look he gave me. I mean, looks like he's going to bleed to death. Holding his arm up, blood everywhere. And I said, man, if you die today, will you go to heaven? Boy, you're talking about thinking about it. He was thinking about it, amen? But we got him up there, got him sewed up. 45 years later, I get this phone call. I go to Birmingham. I walk into the room, and the mother and the granddaughter's in the room. And they walk out. I'm in the room, just myself and this man. I said, I ask you this. Over 45 years ago, and I'm going to ask you the same question today. If you died today, would you go to heaven? And do you know what he told me? I pray nobody in here is like this. He said, I hope so. I sure hope so. And I looked at him like that's the most ridiculous answer a Christian's ever given me. Let me tell you something about dying. I know so. I wouldn't walk out of this building if somebody said, if you died today, would you go to heaven? If my best answer was, I hope so, I would not leave this building today until I know without a shadow of a doubt that I know Jesus. You say, well, how do you know that? The Bible said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thine heart that God raised him from, confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. Believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Hey, that's all I need, that one verse. How many of you believe he came to this earth? Say amen. Amen. How many of you believe he died on the cross? Say amen. Amen. How many of you believe he arose on the third day? Say amen. Amen. How many of you believe he ascended to heaven? Say amen. Amen. You believe he's sitting by God and interceding for us? Say amen. Amen. And then you believe just at any moment he's going to come back? Say amen. Amen. That's the key. You're good at this. I may tell George, I wish I had preached here tonight. Amen. Here's the key to the whole message. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. We're going to stand before him, folks. We're going to stand before him. How would you like to stand before him and say, I was a member of New Haven, but I never went. I wasn't faithful. I was a Christian. But I didn't share the gospel with anybody. I didn't witness. I didn't enjoy singing his praises. I don't want to stand before the Lord empty-handed. I'm just a vessel made by God, saved by grace. But when I stand at that marriage supper before, and I am that bride appearing to my Savior, and he's fixing to look at my track record, And it said, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body. Aren't you glad you're here? You know, you're going to be rewarded for faithfulness. I believe that would be a big award, because we all have a reason not to be faithful. Hey, we're all under attack like never before. Our society is attacking us. Our world is attacking us. But we just stay faithful. Do you think to God the glory is not going to be included in that? Amen. Stay in church. Keep serving the Lord. Amen. And then at the rest of that verse, he said that everyone will receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. I dread the bad. I've failed a lot. I've thought some things I shouldn't think, said some things I shouldn't say. I dread that part. But I'm just praying that my desires will outweigh my bad. Amen. And amen. Well, let me ask you a question. A man lived in this very community. Probably been a year ago, Randy Brooks. I'm sure many of you knew Randy Brooks. I was Randy's pastor for 20 years. Dear friend of mine, served as a deacon at Hillcrest. Randy got sick in just a few months. God called him home. I remember, this is one of the greatest examples. Every time I'd go, and in the week before he died, he led a family member to Jesus. Took them to church at Hillcrest and walked down the aisle with them. And they got baptized. The next week, he went on to be with the Lord. And the week before he died, Janice and I went over to the house. And I wanted to visit with him and just pray with him. Boy, I believe in healing. I wish I had time to tell you about my healing process. Man, it's loaded. I'll do that next time. That way, if you want to hear it, you have to ask me back, okay? But I remember before we left, I said, brother, I'll never forget this. He had something with his liver, I think. He had a liver problem. He kind of turned colors. He didn't look good, but man, he loved Jesus. He was one of the greatest soul winners I've ever known. Visited every Tuesday night. So when I got ready to leave, I said, brother, I'll be back to see you. And he said these words, if you don't make it back, I'll see you in glory. So let me tell you something. If we don't make it back, I want to see you in glory. Let me tell you something, I'm going to be there. I don't hope so. I don't think so. I know so. And if you can't say that, don't you walk out of this building this morning. I don't care if you're the oldest church member in here. I don't care what your track record is. If you don't know that you know that you know that you know, don't you leave this building till you know that you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads with me. Father, we thank you for this atmosphere with this crowd. Thank you for the amens, for the nods of the heads. Thank you for the attention that they have paid. Thank you for your word and the power of your word. Thank you for this great book of Revelation that introduces Jesus Christ to the writer John. And thank you for the salvation, the justification, and the glorification of his writings in Jesus' name. Now, Lord, as we look through this congregation, I pray everybody here is sure about their salvation. But I pray if there's someone here that is not sure, if they're hoping so or thinking so, I pray today before they walk out of this building, they'll know so. And then I pray for somebody that has been saved and they've never been baptized, that they'll come and acknowledge to this church publicly, I know Jesus, and I want to follow Christ in believer's baptism. I pray if somebody's visiting, they'll join this church. What a great spirit. I pray that they'll join this church. Thank you for the opportunity to sing about Jesus, to preach this precious word. Thank you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Stand with us if you will. During the message, I told you, you have a family member. If you don't know if they're saved or not, it's exactly 5 minutes till 11. Come to this altar. Call out their name. Go home and call them and say it. 5 minutes until 11 a day, I just wanted to let you know that I went to the altar and I prayed for you to get saved. You say, well, that'll offend them. Good. Praise the Lord forever. endeavor. So as we sing, I'm going to stand down front and fill in for your pastor. And then if no one comes, I'll turn the service over to our minister of music and we'll be dismissed. But listen, don't you stand there hoping so and thinking so. You stand there with the ability to know so in Jesus' name.
Hymn number 307. Hymn number 307 as we sing.
Amen.
Just as I
good,
am,
come on.
Without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for
amen.
Me.
Amen. Good.
And
good. Come
that
on.
That thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. I come.
We'll sing another verse. If he's speaking to your heart,
just
come to this altar. Come on.
As I am and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come.
Amen.
We'll
sing one more verse just for you.
Just
don't you stand at that pew and miss heaven. Come on.
Though
come on.
Tossed about with many a conflict, many
amen.
A doubt,
amen.
Amen.